All right. Today, being the 19th day of October, 2025, I want to start this final lesson today in this series of lessons from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we're going to be looking today at Nehemiah chapter 12 and 13. Nehemiah chapters 12 and 13. And if you need a bulletin, we got some over here. If you need one, it's got the verses and everything there. But this series of lessons has been entitled Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And you know what? God wants some spiritual leaders in this land. And we need it in the body of Christ. We need it in the church. Our theme verse today is actually two verses. Comes from the book of Psalm, chapter number 1. And in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, David wrote this. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Amen. You know, as we become spiritual leaders at home, in our workplace, with our families, things like that, we have seen in this series of lessons several things that we need to take note of. And I think today, I've listed them in your bulletin today, the first 12 things that we've learned in this lesson. I'm not going to take time because I want to try to get through as much of the lesson as we can. But we've studied some great marks of a spiritual leader. And I've listed 12 of those marks that we've found out about in these first 12 lessons. And I believe that each of these lessons has been helpful. It has been to me, to help me to see what I need to do as a leader in my home, with my family, here at church, you know, in our Sunday school class. I want to be a good spiritual leader. I want to be an encouragement to our people. But today's lesson especially deals with the issue that is very prevalent in every church ministry today. We have to deal with this every day, and that being the issue of compromise. Amen. Compromise. And you know, just as sure as God chooses his leaders to teach us and to train folks and to help stand in truth and in righteousness, so also the devil chooses leaders. The devil comes up with folks that will infiltrate God's people, and he'll try to cause them to compromise their stand on the commandments and promises of God. We've seen that with Bible versions. We've seen that with music. We've seen that with the style of worship. And churches have basically gotten away from preaching truth because they don't want to offend anybody. But you know, I'm going to say this. Had I never known that there was a hell, had I never known that there was a devil that wanted to send me there, had I never come to find out and to realize the fact that I was a sinner, I would have never seen my need of a Savior. And folks, the devil doesn't want folks to come to the Savior. And he'll do anything and everything that he can to help us to compromise the Word of God and the message that we teach and that we try to preach. And folks, it's during these troublesome times that God's leaders and God's spiritual leaders in the ministry, we've got to learn to dedicate ourselves unto the Lord. And you know what? I want to be a help to the people in my Sunday school class. I want to be a help to those folks that we lead to Christ. I want to be a help to them because we are living in the last days. I don't know if you know that. Paul talked about this when he talked about we're in the last days. We've been in the last days for a long time, it seemed like. But we are seeing things come to pass today that we never thought would ever happen. We never thought would take place in our world. Who would have ever thought that you would turn on the news and all you see is vulgarity and all the things that are going on in our political world and our social world and all the things around us today. Lisa and I were watching a program last night, and they've got commercials about this new channel that's come out, the free queer TV. And it's sad. It's just wicked. It's vile. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, how much worse what must it have been in Noah's day that you chose to destroy the whole world and send the flood? How much worse must it have been in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when they couldn't even find 10 righteous people in the city before God would hold his hand of judgment back? They couldn't find it. And folks, we are living in a time today where folks are mocking the name of God. And even in churches today, they're teaching wicked and vile things to boys and girls and to adults. And they're promoting things. We've got a couple churches right here in our city that are flying these flags and all these things. And they're promoting wickedness and vile, just things that are wicked in the eyes of God. It's abomination. And they're doing it in the name of church. And folks, compromise has surely come upon our world today in a sad way. But it's a reality. And you and I, we are too close to the Lord Jesus coming back again. We're too close to the end of the race to fall for the devil's temptations and his plans to get us off track. And in the lesson today, God's leaders, we're going to see this, God's leaders must guide others in the dedication unto God and separation from the world before the Lord. We've got to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We've got to do that. It's not always an easy task to perform. It's not always easy, as we're going to see in the lesson today. Dedication to God must be a part of one's spiritual life and of your heart before it can be found in the hearts and the lives of those folks that we lead and we guide. We're going to have to lead by example. And God had a man named Nehemiah that was willing to be what God wanted him to be. And folks, I'm telling you, I see this in other churches. I've been to other places to preach and to teach, and even with funeral services and things like that, where they don't give the gospel. They don't give the message that we hear every week here. And sometimes we take it for granted. We're so blessed that we don't think about anything being any different. But folks, there are some things that are not right in our world today. And we've got to guard ourselves against that. And I hope that the lesson today will help us to see the fact that we are indeed, as our class verse says, we are indeed more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God has made us to be what we cannot be on our own power, in our own selves. So I want us to look at this lesson today. And I want us to consider, the title of it is Compromising Again. Compromising Again. We're in Nehemiah chapter 12. As we begin this final lesson, I want to just review a couple important things with you. All right? God had been so good to this group of people. He had been so good and so faithful to the covenant that He had made about them. And I want you to think about this today. Think about it. In just 52 days, God had enabled the people of God to accomplish more than one could ever expect to be accomplished in such a short period of time. In 52 days, the rubble of destruction had been removed. And that city that once stood tall for God now lay just demolished. And its walls had been rebuilt. The gates to keep out the enemy and to provide protection for the people had once again been restored. And the people of God had also been restored. Why? because they saw the hand of God at work in their lives. They had made a dedication to the Lord to say, Lord, that we've sinned in the past. We've done wrong. And Lord, we see that. We know that. But God, today, we want to begin our lives anew. We want to start living for you the way that we ought to. They had been restored to obedience to the Word of God through a repentive spirit and their own personal confession of their sins before God. You know what they did? They admitted that God was right. They admitted it. They realized the reason for all the destruction that was around them. And they remembered the faithfulness of their God to keep His covenant and each of His promises to the people that He so loved. Man, what a God that we serve today, folks. And so now restored to service once again and to the convictions, all right, found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. I want to remind you of what Solomon wrote here in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. He said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now think about this verse just a moment. It said, righteousness exalteth a nation. So what does sin do? It tears down a nation. And that's exactly what had happened with the people of Judah. Jerusalem had been destroyed because of sin, because of willful disobedience to God, because of their rebellion against the Word of God. And these people of God had truly been restored and revived by the great hand of God. God had done a great work with them, and they were truly thankful for all that God had done for them in those last few months. But now, they wanted to show forth that love. They wanted to show God their gratefulness. They wanted to show their appreciation to God for all that He had done for them through a solemn dedication unto God and through a great celebration time that would not only be honoring unto the Lord God whom they served, but it would also serve as a reminder to that generation as well as to the generation that would follow them that they were indeed serious about living for God as the people of God. You know what? We can say we love the Lord. I can tell my wife I love her, okay? But if I never come home, I never sit down with her for a meal or try to be with her or walk out and, you know, down the driveway with her, just hold hands or whatever, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? Words don't oftentimes mean a lot when there's no action put to it. And folks, we need to not only say to God that we love you, Lord, but we need to show it in the way that we live for Him from day to day. Our hearts need to be dedicated unto Him. And that love is what will keep me faithful. I was explaining to Deborah. Deborah's going to get baptized today. Deborah, raise your hand there just a second. She's going to get baptized today. She'll be leaving about 10:30 to go out here, and we'll get her ready and everything downstairs. We did take the alligators out, okay? The shark was slippery, so he's still there, but, you know. Nah, I'm just kidding you. But I was explaining to her the other night about baptism, about it being our spiritual wedding band. That ring right there tells you something about me. It tells you I belong to somebody. Now, if I take it off, my fat little finger, you look now and you can't see, you can't tell that I'm married. But am I still married? Yes, I'm still married, yes. Because I made a vow to her, she made a vow to me, we made it before God. All the ring does is let everybody outside around me know that I belong to somebody. You know what? That's what baptism does. Baptism lets folks around you know, listen, God has saved me. He died upon the cross for my sins. He was buried for me to take away my sin. He arose again to give me everlasting life and victory over sin. And now I'm going to walk in that newness of life. And it's a picture, okay, of what's in our heart. We've accepted Christ, and now we're letting everybody know we're not ashamed of Christ. Does that make sense to you? All right? That's what God wants us to do when we dedicate our hearts and lives unto God. He wants us not only to just hide it in our hearts. Listen, when I got saved, I'd already been telling folks that I was saved. So I thought in my mind, well, I won't have to tell anybody I got saved because, you know, I don't want anybody to think I was a liar, that I really wasn't saved, and now I did get saved, and now they won't believe me. So I just won't tell anybody. But, buddy, the more I got into the Word of God, and the more I saw my friends around me, and I thought, Lord, I don't want them to die and go to hell. It was like you shaking up a Coke bottle or something. And, man, it just, you know how it gets? It wants the fizz, and you pop that top, and, man, the Coca-Cola goes everywhere. That's the way it was when I got saved. Man, I just wanted to tell everybody that I got saved. Why? Because I wanted them to know the joy that God had given unto me. And, man, I still want that today. I want to keep that joy in my heart. And I want to spread it everywhere I go. And that is part of being dedicated unto Christ. We're thankful for what God did for me personally. But now He shows me, you know what? I can not only do it just for you, but for everybody around you. All they need is somebody to go and share the message. And so now, these people, they have to make a decision. What are they going to do with God? They've seen the hand of God. They've seen the blessing of God. They've seen restoration to their city. They've seen spiritual restoration in their lives, their souls, their hearts, their minds. And now they're going to make a dedication. And they're going to dedicate some things unto the Lord. And I want you to see, first, point number one here in our lesson, the dedication of the walls. The dedication of the walls. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all these names again because I still have some trouble with this. All right? I'm not Pastor Belcher. He's got that West Virginia knowledge. He can pronounce all those names. I can't do that, okay? And bless her heart, Mrs. Belcher would have to spell them all. And I'm thinking about her as well, okay? All right? So you pray for her. But the leaders of this temple are first seen in verses 1 through 26. And I want you to look. If you go down in chapter number 12, verses 1 through 26, you're going to see all those leaders named. Now, you and I may come to this part of the Bible and we begin to read that and say, oh, Lord, I can't read all these names. Why did you put all these names in here? Because God saw the dedication of the hearts of these people. And He made a record of it. And you know what? God is the great record keeper today, folks. He's keeping record of who loves Him and who serves Him and who wants to dedicate their hearts and lives to Him. He's keeping record. And you know what? One of these days, when I stand before Him, all I want to hear Him say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And as I read these names of all these people, I thought, listen, they were dedicated to God. They wanted to encourage the rest of the people. And I thought to myself, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I may not be able to pronounce your name, but God knows who you are. And these folks, in verses 1 through 7, the names of the leaders of the priests are listed. In verses 8 through 9, He names the priests' helpers. You say, well, Brother Ray, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. Can you be a helper? Can you just be a prayer warrior? Can you be someone that says, hey, listen, I see a need and I want to be a help to you with this need? God saw that as being important. Little is much when God is in it, folks. Let me tell you. And God said, you know what? Because of their love and their dedication unto me, I'm going to list their names here. And in verses 8 and 9, He lists the helpers to the priests. And then in verses 10 and 11, He names the high priests. And in verses 12 through 21, He names all the heads of the priests' families, as well as all of the Levites and the priestly associates, and they're all listed there in verses 22 through 26. He saw them as being important. Now let me tell you something, folks. Whatever you do for God, don't you let the devil tell you that you're not doing anything important. because faithfulness is important. Love to God is important. And God sees your heart. He sees my heart. He knows why we do what we do today. He knows why we don't do what we ought to do today. But He's there to be that helper, that friend, that guide. And you know what? He wants us to be the guide for those around us. Not only do we see the leaders of the temple here in this dedication of the walls, but we see the ceremony of the dedication in verses 26 through 47. Now, this ceremony, which we read about earlier over in Nehemiah chapter 11, I want you to turn back to Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 here just a moment. Let's read those first two verses. Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." You know what? These folks were willing to go wherever God wanted them to go. They were willing to do whatever needed to be done for the Lord. And God blessed that. And after all that had been done, and after all that had been accomplished, Nehemiah could truly say, "My work here is now complete." You know what? I don't know. I don't know of a lot of churches today that are still preaching the truth of the gospel as they used to when they first started. We have lots of churches in this area, but very few. And I'm not saying this meanly. I'm not trying to say this braggabociously or anything about this church. But I'm saying we meet very few folks ever that go out and knock on somebody's door and try to tell anybody about Jesus. Very few. And you know what? The sad thing is they didn't start out that way. They started out the same way we started out here at this church, with a desire to reach the community with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, leadership is important. I thank God for the godly leadership this church has had through the years. I thank God we've got a pastor. I'm not saying this because his wife is sitting here. Okay? But I'm saying this because it's a fact. He's been faithful for 30 years. 30 years. And he's not a young man. Listen, he could easily come back. I don't mean it that way, okay? But I'm just saying this. He's 71 years old. He could say, "You know what? I've served the Lord long enough, and I can just go back and retire and leave it to somebody else." But you know why he does what he does? I believe because he loves you and he loves me. And he wants us to stay faithful. And you know what? If we will follow the Word of God and the man of God that is teaching that Word of God, God will bless that. We're seeing the hand of God blessing. Folks, Nehemiah said, "You know what? I'm thankful that I stayed true to God. My work now here is complete." And he could celebrate with the people the completion of the task that God had given to them to do with thanksgiving in his heart. Look at verse 31. Chapter number 12, verse 31. I'm getting the right chapter here. Verse 31 said, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed 2 great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And after them went all these other princes and things, and they gave thanks." Basically, they were giving thanks unto God. And they were standing upon the walls of that great city, praising God and giving Him thanks. And the actual purpose of this celebration, you can see it here in verse number 27. "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication, what? With gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And here we see that the Levites were sought out, number one, to keep the dedication with gladness. With gladness. How do you stay faithful to God? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Fellas, how do you keep the honey in the honeymoon? In your home, in your marriage? Remember the day. Remember that little girl that you married and how that she was willing to dedicate herself unto you. Now you think about that just a minute. Man, Brother Don, you got a lot to be thankful for, amen? She gave a testimony today. And you know what? Had it not been for that young lady bringing you over for that special date that night and that daddy saying, you know what? He needs to hear the gospel. Man, where would you be today? And you know what? I get to thinking about how good God has been. And I can't help but just want to be faithful to Him. Amen? I can't help but want to dedicate my heart with gladness unto the Lord for all He's done for me all these years. They dedicated themselves with gladness. And look what else. They gave dedication, they kept dedication with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. They did all of these things to give honor and glory, not to themselves, but unto the God that was merciful to them, who had not forgotten His promise unto them. You see that today? And these folks, Nehemiah directed the organization of this dedication. He directed it. And he appointed two different choirs to encircle the city, to encircle it on the top of these great walls. And beginning here at the place where Nehemiah had first entered into the gates and had made his assessment, the valley gate, that's where they started. And they went all the way around the walls of that city, singing praise and giving honor unto the Lord their God. And in verses 31 through 37, we see how that half of the leaders would take one group around the walls counterclockwise, and the other half of the leaders would take their people, and this included Nehemiah. He would lead them along, and they followed around by two on the clockwise side going around the walls. And in verse 43, Nehemiah summarized this whole great celebration by stating this. He said, also that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. Man, when you can get your wives to rejoicing about things, guys, that's a great day, amen? That's a great day. And the children, instead of complaining, daddy, daddy, they rejoiced in the Lord because even their wives and children saw the hand of God upon them. And listen to this. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. You know what? When I read that part of verse 43, I thought, I wonder how many people around this city are able to hear the joy of our salvation from Church of the Open Door. As we go out to knock on doors, we go out and visit new move-ins, as we go out and visit new school parents that come to our school and visitors that come and grace and honor us with their presence on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, we try to go and thank them for coming to church. Do they see, do they hear the joy of the Lord in our hearts when we go out like that? Man, the whole city needs to hear it because that's what's going to make a difference. And as you read in verses 44 through 47, we see that the conclusion of this celebration was capped off by the people giving to the various works of the ministry as directed by Nehemiah. And he did this as he had been commanded by God. And you may read about this promise and other oaths that he made. But I want to share one especially with you here. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 10 just a moment. In Nehemiah chapter number 10. There were some oaths that the people made to God. Some promises. And beginning in verse number 29. Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 29. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse. Now that's not a bad thing. That was, a curse was a promise, okay? It was something that was projected that would happen if they did something. And it said, and into an oath. To do what? To walk in God's law. They made an oath to God before all the others, before their family. They made an oath, a promise to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God. And to observe, that means to take knowledge of, to recognize it, to know what it said, and listen, and to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. Now their Sabbath was on Saturday, okay? And they made the promise, you know what? We need to make this day a day that we dedicate to God. We're not going to go out and do business. We're not going to go out and mow the yard and do this and do that. This is the Lord's day, amen? And that's what they said. We want to keep it as the Lord's day. And look what else it said. And that we would leave the seventh year in the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, for the holy things, and for the sin offerings, to make an atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. What did they do? They gave so that they could keep the ministry going. And you know what? That's what we do. We have that opportunity every first day of the week, don't we? To give unto the Lord as he has prospered us. We give unto the ministry. They gave of themselves. They gave of their time, their temple, their talents, you know, their treasures. They made a full dedication unto God. And so now with the completion of the walls and the restoration of the city gates and all the reconstruction of the city itself, the people made certain that worship in the temple was restored as well. You know what it meant? It meant that coming to the temple of God was no longer just a chore to do, but it represented joy in their heart when they came. And you know what? We have a privilege. We talked to some folks the other night that could not believe that our church had services on Sunday night. They said, you guys have a service on Sunday night? I said, yeah, we even got one on Wednesday night. And it's for everybody. And they said, we didn't think churches did that anymore. And folks, you know what? Folks have gotten so used to the COVID era, okay, where it was just a convenience whenever to pull it up online and watch it whenever you wanted to watch it. But they forgot about the joy that there is in coming to the house of God and fellowshipping one with another and hearing the man of God preach the word of God and being able to come and come down to the altar and give your burdens unto the Lord. pray with folks. They had forgotten about that. And folks, the people of Judah were the same way. The temple of God was just a chore that they had to do. Going to the temple was just a chore. But now it became a joy. It became a joy in their hearts. And folks, that's where we've got to see the joy of the Lord in our service unto Him. Do you see that today? Man, this is the dedication. And according to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14, Nehemiah spent a good time of his life making a significant investment in the lives of God's people. But listen to this. According to this verse, Nehemiah stated, "From the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king," that is 12 years. For 12 years, he served God, was a faithful example to the people. Man, we got a pastor here that's been almost three times that here, not to mention all the other places he's pastored. Faithful. Listen, it's hard to believe. This coming May, June, Lisa and I will be here 15 years. I can't believe it. It's gone by so fast. I love it. And in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 6, he said, "But in all this time, while I was not at Jerusalem, for in the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days I obtained leave of the king." He had a concern that when he went back to give report to the king, he came back to check up on the city and to see what was happening while he had been gone. And folks, that's when his heart was broken. And if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Amen. You got to be back next week. Listen, the key to the lesson today is this. If we don't want to be found compromising, we need to find ourselves dedicating our hearts and lives unto the Lord. Let's determine to do that today. Father, I thank you, dear God, for the opportunity that we have to serve you. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that has made such a difference in my life and in the lives of the people here in our Sunday school class. And Lord, we want to be faithful unto you. Lord, one day when we stand before you, we want to be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Lord, the devil is out there to cause us to want to compromise, to want us to dip our sails and not do what we ought to be doing for you. Help us, dear God, to have spiritual discernment, to recognize the ploys that the devil lays out in front of us. Help us, Lord, to stay anchored in the Word of God, that we will avoid those temptations and we will not compromise the Word of God or our dedication unto you. Help us, O Lord, to be found faithful. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And Lord, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.